It is Monday, November 1st. Welcome back. Menace in the Morning. Got a big college football recap episode coming to you this fine Monday morning. Chris, how was your Halloween?
Oh, dude, it was great. You know, dressed up as Gerald from Hey Arnold, you know, the only black character in the show. So I got to wear my red still, and I got to be in costume, which was there the whole goal.
You got to love that. Well, we had a hell of a day here. Trick or treat like crazy. It's crazy up here in Powell. So they in Columbus, it's weird. They do like most of the like area, like, I don't know, different cities or suburbs and all the little neighborhoods. Most of them do trick or treat the Thursday before Halloween for whatever reason. And up here in Powell, we do it on Halloween. So it's wild because, you know, it's a couple days later always. And you just get, I mean, vans of kids from other cities coming into Powell to go double, you know, get that double bag.
Yeah, they're there so for the king size, man. It's Powell.
I'm sitting here like, I think the whole night I saw one kid that I knew or recognized. I'm like, what the fuck is this? We're just handing out candy to other cities now? This is wild.
Yeah, it's like IMG Academy, just full of mercenaries.
Right. Like, I mean, I'm with it. Like, hey, as long as kids have fun, I don't care. I don't care where you're from, but it's just weird. I'm like, damn, where's our neighborhood kids at? Oh, and there's half of our neighborhood, like my half is a boring half. And the other half of the neighborhood is like, I mean, it's like Party City. Like you go over there and it's, you know, they got full, the decorations are insane. And then they have like kids trick or treat on this side of the garage, adult trick or treat on the other side. They got like fireball shots.
Oh, like, it's like, jumping.
It's a party, I guess.
It's a party.
But unfortunately or fortunately, I was the, candy passer outer, so I didn't partake in any of that. But wild times up here in the burbs, man.
In the burbs.
Oh man, but a lot to unpack from this weekend. I mean, obviously huge win for Michigan State, a huge epic failure for Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State came back to reality a little bit. I will tell you that before we get started, obviously MyBookie is a sponsor of the show, and with the promo code Menace, you get a free deposit match. You deposit $100, so they give you $100 for free. But my advice for gambling today is don't. And part of being successful gambling, which is almost an impossible thing to do, but part of it is knowing when not to bet. And so today I'm not betting. I mean, I had a parlay Vikings Chiefs last night that just, I mean, what the fuck? You can't beat the Cowboys with some fucking guy named Chasten Cooper or something, some guy that no one's ever heard of. The Vikings can't get that done. I mean, it's a fucking train wreck. And so that was the absolute right bet. If you bet the Cowboys, you guessed and got right. Like, very yeah,
you,
luckily
you,
right.
You backed into it.
Oh, like accidentally. Like no analytic and no smart football brain would have ever called the Cowboys to win that game. But I do have a friend of mine who's an excellent gambler, and he is huge on betting underdogs in primetime games. His whole philosophy is if you bet, you know, let's say on the weekend you have three primetime NFL games and you bet the underdog in all three, most of the time the way the odds shake out, if you go 1-2, you still win. And if you go 2-1, you kill it. And it's an interesting philosophy. I'm not really in on it yet, but I'm tracking it.
Paying attention to it. Okay.
Paying attention. You know, I got to find new angles, new ways to do it. But yeah, my bookie will get you right. So promo code Menace, go check that out. And I'm just telling you, don't bet today. I'll have something for you tomorrow, but don't bet today. Oh, but let's talk about it, Chris. What'd you think, man? Start with Michigan and Michigan State. How about that fucking game? And how about Kenneth Walker III?
Well, first of all, I owe you a you got it right, because on the show, basically, you said you thought, you know, you liked Michigan State to win the game. I thought you were crazy. You know, this is Michigan's game to be had. And Johnny from Coaching the Bull called me, and I was like, yeah, like I got it. I'm about to talk so much shit on Monday when I get back with Zach, because, you know, Michigan's going to win. And big game Jim does it again. They botched the whole thing and probably give Kenneth Walker his Heisman moment as well. Went absolutely berserk. 197 and 5 tutties. Zach, wow.
I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. But, I mean, I've been saying it all year, and I don't know that people really paid attention because it is Michigan State. But before, you know, as we talk about this, I will say, how about the, 7 or 8-0 Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and what would they look like if Kenneth Walker stayed?
Mm-hmm. That's really real. Like, jeez, him and Sam Hartman, jeez.
We would be talking about a legit playoff contender, mainly because the ACC is such garbage. But, you had that, I mean, who should be the Heisman Trophy winner back to Wake Forest. And it's like, whoa, watch out. But he's doing it. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable that, Mel Tucker was able to secure him through the transfer portal and secure half the team through the transfer portal. And they are strong. They are strong. And after what we watched with Ohio State this weekend, I mean, that is a huge matchup coming down on November 20th. And it's going to be fun to watch. And it's going to be exciting. A lot, you know, these games are awesome. And big game Jim just can't seem to fucking win. Unbelievable. They're at what, 33-14?
Yeah, they were up big and they were dominating. I felt like in every part of the game, Zach, like there was no reason for them to lose this game. Like it didn't look like a fluky lead. They executed everything they wanted to, and then yet they still choked it away. The moment was still too big, even when it shouldn't have been that big.
Well, you know, and I think it was just they. I guess I don't even know what to say. It was 30-14. Michigan was controlling every aspect of the game, and then Jim Harbaugh. I was looking at it like he is right now 2-9 on the road against AP ranked opponents. 2-9. That's 18% win percentage. It's by far the worst of any active head coach at any school. The guy just can't do it. He chokes. He just can't get it done in these big games. And at some point, I know Michigan fans have to be just destroyed about it because at some point it's got to change or he's got to go. And they look great. Obviously, they were 7-0 going into the game. But you just can't let a team run the ball like that all over you. And I know the kid's a great player, but honestly, why you watch, and I know it's the NFL, but you watch what Ezekiel Elliott's doing at the Cowboys. He's a great back, one of the best backs in the NFL. But you can take away a great back if you can fit gaps and tackle, right?
Right.
He's going to get his plays every now and then, like Zeke had on third down last night. They threw him a little check down, and he broke two tackles and got a first down to essentially win the game for the Cowboys. But you don't have to let him just beat you single-handedly, and that's what Kenneth Walker III did. He beat this team single-handedly.
Yeah, I mean, he went absolutely wild. Like, he was the one, you know, equalizer, because if you look at what Michigan did on offense, I mean, Cade went for 383, Zach. Like, we talked about how this passing game wasn't great, but they figured some things out. And additionally, like, it just felt like with the better quarterback play, that was who's going to win the game. And Kenneth Walker completely erased all of that. What do you think about Jim throwing in J.J. McCarthy as much as he did, and then J.J. having the big, big fumble? Like, why would you put the true freshman in that position at all?
Well, they've had success with it, right? They've had, and he played a good game, threw a hell of a touchdown pass, a ridiculous ball, and that receiver, my God. Andrell Anthony, the freshman, what the fuck?
He went 6 for 155 with two tutties. He went absolutely absurd. I don't know.
He looked like a fucking bona fide stud. So he's going to be really good. You know, he's still young, but I don't mind throwing J.J. McCarthy in. I know he had that fumble, but that's, they've been riding that all year, and they throw him in and he makes a play here and there. And I don't know the necessity out of it. Like the kids, it's not like he was a dynamic runner. It's not like, I mean, he had three carries for 7 yards. He did have the touchdown pass, but who's to say Cade McNamara couldn't have thrown that, right? So, I like the concept, you know, if it's well employed, I guess. But obviously, hindsight being 2020, he has a fumble, and now they lose the game. It's like, damn, why'd you do that? But they've had success with it all year.
I just thought Cade was just so good most of the game. There was kind of no reason to throw him off his rhythm and put the freshman in there. But, you know, no matter how you slice it, Michigan found a way to lose this game, which is what happened. And Kenneth Walker legitimately has a Heisman moment or five in a massive game. And then Mel Tucker, man, I'm blown away by the Michigan State team, Zach. I don't know.
Gangster. Got that cigar fired up back by the pool again. It's going to be fucking snow on the ground, and that some bitch is going to be sitting by a pool with a cigar in his mouth after a victory in November. That's for sure.
2-0. He's 2-0 against Jim Harbaugh. I do want to talk about Ohio State because today, I mean, the offense did come back down to earth a little bit, but I have some questions for you because we touched on something. C.J. Stroud, we touched about, do we believe he's a championship-level quarterback? Not in terms of much the talent, but the toughness and to be able to kind of get better and better with every big moment. Did we see a championship-level quarterback on Saturday, Zach? What do you think?
I mean, he played okay, right? I mean, there's not a lot you can fault him about. The biggest thing they didn't do was close out drives in the red zone. And it wasn't that he missed a lot of throws. It wasn't that he missed a lot of reads. Honestly, I think their red zone game plan was pretty average. I think Penn State really had a really solid red zone defense and defensive game plan. I mean, you can't get in the red zone six times and walk away with one touchdown and expect to blow out a decent football team, right? A ranked football team at that. I mean, you gotta come out of there minimally 50% touchdowns. I mean, you really want to have more like 75%, but if they get three out of six touchdowns, you're talking about eight extra points. And now this, what were they, 9-point win looks is a 17-point win. And everyone's talking about how they just destroyed Penn State. That's what it comes down to. And I think if they do that, if they get, they convert a couple of those in the red zone, and then they got to shore up their third down, you know, packages on both sides of the ball. Fuck, Penn State was 11-16 on third down for like 65% or whatever that is. You can do the math. Penn State kept drives alive. They just kept moving the chains. Third down, they convert. Third down, they convert. Ohio State's more like 33% on third down. They're doing just the opposite. Third down, they don't convert. And so really, you walk out of this game with a 9-point win, not converting on third down, not getting off the field on defense on third down, and not converting touchdowns in the red zone. It's fucking miraculous that they won this game.
Yeah. To add to your point on offense, at least, I think this is kind of a good stepping stone for a couple of reasons, because A, you win the game. And right now for Ohio State, every single game is a playoff game because you're not going to get in with two losses. You need to run the table, essentially. Secondly, I think this is a frustrating 9-point loss that you can build off of. Like, you know, because for a while there, this offense felt pretty perfect there going up against, albeit teams like Indiana and Rutgers. Now this is a offense that had an okay, did enough to win. They did a good job. You know, didn't commit the big turnover. Interception. Obviously, we had the Rutgers situation early, but this feels like a game where there's so much you can look to build off of. But at the same time, you did come out with a 9-point win, and you did do some impressive things against probably one of the top 10 defense in the country, Zach. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that back seven was really good. And up front, I thought they did a really good job, and they gave our offensive line almost all they could handle. Now, is the offensive line a problem, or is that Penn State defensive front just that good?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I still stand by the fact this offensive line is the best offensive line in the country. Mm-hmm. I think that Penn State front is, I mean, it's that good. And we talked about it on my show, at least when I broke down the Penn State defense. I thought the Penn State front four was a legit front four. And I mean, I think finally Nick Petitfriere didn't play a great game. Thayer Mumford has had his struggles moving to guard. And I don't think you can't not start DeJuan Jones. So they had to move one of them to guard. But Thayer's just seems out of position at guard.
He's having a tough time in there. The interior pressure all game was a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, it was the left side of the line. It really was. It was Nick Petitfriere and Thayer Mumford struggled all game long. Not all game. You know, they had their moments of struggle, right? I thought DeJuan Jones played really well. I thought Paris Johnson played really well. And I thought Luke Weipler handled business. He had a couple of snaps where he, you know, he didn't play with great fundamentals and maybe and missed a block or whatever. But you're going to have that from time to time, especially against a good front. And I don't know. I mean, they throw Matthew Jones in there every now and then. I thought he played well when he got in there. So I think the offensive line, it was a growing moment. I mean, you got to understand, they've went against some fucking awful fronts the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a back to reality, like, oh yeah, this is what great defensive fronts look like. And I think it's a testament to how little they've gone against our first team defensive line in practice outside of some pass rush drills and, you know, live football. It's been mostly ones on twos. So they haven't really seen great defensive fronts, and they ran into a pretty good one. So I don't think it's anything to panic about, but I think it's definitely a growing opportunity and moment for this for Coach Stud.
Yeah, no, I would generally agree. I mean, I do think that, I mean, you can't argue Thayer is having a tougher time in there than I thought he would. And that left side, you said, was the issue. It's crazy because it felt like a really slow night to me from the offensive line. And then you look down and Trayvon Henderson has over 150 rushing yards, Zach. Like he is so dynamic and so special. And even when it's not there, it's still there. And I think super important for me is he was finishing. I wanted to see how he would handle things later in the game. Like, would he keep finishing runs the way he did as a true freshman who hadn't played football last year? I thought the way he was punishing defenders in that third and fourth quarter was the most impressive thing I've seen from him all year.
He's dynamic. And you finally saw you know, a complete game, right? Because they've done a great job. Tony Alford's done a masterful job of just employing Travion as much as they needed to, right? He'd have 8 carries, 9 carries here and there, and he'd still bust a big one, and he'd still have 100 and some yards. But they never really said, all right, he's going to be a 25 carry back until we need him to be. And on Saturday, they needed him to be. So he got 28 carries, 152 yards, 1 touchdown. And we got to see kind of the fact that he's still a freshman, right? He breaks a huge run, long run. You think he's gone. The backside corner hawks him down, right? That's something that a year from now, or certainly 2 years from now, that's not going to happen after he's fully, you know, is more developed in the weight room as a college athlete. Because this kid's, you got to remember, this kid's a young kid. I mean, it's a high school football player and he didn't play his senior year. So he hasn't played football in 2 years. So really awesome game by Trey. He absolutely was the key to victory for this offense. I thought CJ played well. The biggest thing CJ didn't do is he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't throw an interception.
Correct.
Cause you got to understand, I mean, this game, Penn State had 3 turnovers. Ohio State had the 1 fumble. If he goes and throws a pick or two, Penn State either wins this game, or we're talking about a 1-2 point victory either way. So CJ did his job. I mean, he could have played better, but 22 of 34, 305 yards and 1 touchdown. But the biggest stat is 0 interceptions. If he can just protect the football, this offense is too dynamic to not be explosive.
Right, and that's kind of one of the luxuries of being Ohio State is we don't need him to take any like super dangerous, risky throws for this offense to go crazy because they have. I mean, they have 3 probably first round receivers, definitely a first round running back, and first round offensive lineman everywhere. So the general idea is get the ball in the playmaker's hands. Don't take the big risk because our options 1, 2, and 3 would be other teams 1, 1, and 1. He did his job. He did not make the big error. He's going to want some throws back like that throw to Chris Olave where he looked like he misread the coverage, I believe he said after the game. And this is – we need him to get better to be a championship-level quarterback, I believe. I don't think he's quite there yet. I think he needs to get better. I think he needs to get a little bit tougher as well. But like you said, I mean, step one, let's not make the mistakes. So yeah, that's all I have on him. Go ahead,
Zach. You know what? You just said something that I think is something to – that we shouldn't just blow by. I mean, you look at this offense right now and how many guys are not going to play on Sundays? Start on Sundays. How many guys are not going to be NFL starters? I mean, honestly, CJ Stroud still have no idea. I mean, looks decent, might be, but you compare this team to the big comparison is the 2014 team, right? This receiver core all going to play on Sundays, the 3, absolutely. Right? I'm not here to tout, you know, or praise some 5-star kid that hasn't played yet. I know that's what fans do, but that's, I'm not here to say that. No, I mean, Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison Jr., they might be NFL players. We have no idea. And if anyone thinks they are, they're absolute idiots. They haven't even played yet, but they have 3 NFL receivers. They have an NFL running back, an NFL tight end, NFL tackles, certainly NFL right guard. Thayer's going to play in the NFL, whether it's guard or tackle. So that's, I mean, the only guys that we don't know about yet are Luke Weipler. I'm not ready to say he's going to play in the NFL. And CJ Stroud, we don't know yet, right? Everyone else is going to start in the NFL. And that's, we didn't have that in 2014. And I don't know that people have, I'm trying to think of when a team was so loaded. I mean, the LSU team 2 years ago, Alabama last year. I mean, but are all those kids NFL starters? I mean, obviously the quarterbacks are, and that's the biggest difference between the 3 offenses is the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, like that LSU team, I went through the roster. They didn't have 3 guys at receiver that would start. 2 guys, and then they had the Moss kid at tight end. He was an undrafted free agent at tight end. I mean, this team has, you know, Rucker, say what you will, he's going to be absolutely drafted. The 3 receivers are going to be first round draft picks. We know about Trey. I mean, this is an NFL offense. Like they have weapons everywhere. So you don't need someone to get a bulk of the targets to kind of take the game over. You don't have to throw anything risky because there's so much talent there that someone's always going to be open and you don't need to force anything. So yeah, this is an NFL offense essentially. And CJ Stroud just needs to not mess that up at this point. And then as he grows and grows, you can put more on his shoulders. But obviously, you know, after that Penn State game, you can see that he still has some work to do. And it's a good thing. Like you don't want this team to feel like they peaked middle of the season. You want this team to keep taking steps in the right direction.
There's no doubt. And I think one of the biggest things that is an easy fix to get cleaned up is just the operational offensive penalties, right? The false starts and shit. I mean, I know the crowd is loud. You're fucking at home. It's not that loud. Just wait till you have to go on the road or, I mean, the Big House, although the Big House, I've said before, is not a great game day atmosphere because it's so open that it's not near as loud as it should be, but it's going to be loud. I mean, they're going to have to be able to operate under adverse conditions. This was at home. Mm-hmm. And to have those just lack of focus penalties. I'm not saying holding where you get beat and you probably should have let go, or I'm talking about just dumbass penalties, right? Those, you got to get rid of those off rip. You have to, or else you're going to, that's going to hurt you in a game, and it hurt them in this game. But I thought the defense played well. They had 7 missed tackles. Penn State had 10 missed tackles. And anyone who listens to my show knows that's the biggest indication of win-loss is if you can win the missed tackle battle. So I thought the defense, you know, did their job. Penn State, you know, only Penn State actually was impressive to me watching it live and then looking back at it. They did have 10 missed tackles. But it's the stupid penalties. I think they shored up the tackling, which is one of the things that I said they needed to do. And so it's a process, man. They got to win, a 9-point win against a good opponent. I mean, people are going to complain about it, but it is what it is. It was a good win.
No, I like it. I think I'm going to say it 100 times. You never want to peak in the middle of the year. I think this gives them a lot to learn from and improve off of going forward. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, they're going to hit they're hitting a real gauntlet stretch here pretty soon. So it should be really, really fun. Zach, I do want to dig into the defense tomorrow, but do you have any other thoughts from the Saturday slate?
You know what? The only other game that I think is worth note is the absolute disaster in Gainesville, Florida. I mean, Georgia looked phenomenal. Dan Mullen obviously doesn't have a quarterback, and we've known that all year. I'm going to put it on my show tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. But his post game press conference was fucking bizarre. Like it was like I don't know if he was on drugs or if he's just completely fucking lost it. But it was really bizarre. And honestly, if he survives today, I will be shocked because 4-4 in year 4, after, you know, not winning the SEC once. And, you know, he only made it to the game in a COVID year. I don't see how they keep Dan Mullen, especially with all the momentum he doesn't have in recruiting. I talked to a good friend of mine who's a head coach in South Florida, which, you know, I recruited there forever. Yeah. And it's really the key to the kingdom in the state, right? If you can out recruit Miami and Florida State in South Florida, you know, you got a chance, and they are being out recruited by Miami and Florida State. And it's not even close. I mean, the quote that he gave me, he came to the tailgate, by the way, the tailgate was awesome. If you, all those that came, thank you. We had over 200 people there, raised a ton of money. It was awesome. Crazy environment. We'll put pictures and stuff up. So make sure you come check us out at Michigan State. Cause now talk about an epic matchup. The tailgate is going to be huge.
Yeah.
The
game, and I'll be there too.
Hell yeah. But his quote to me at the tailgate on Saturday was, cause he had brought some recruits up, to Ohio State and obviously stopped by the tailgate. I asked him, I said, what is the feel and vibe in South Florida when it comes to the Gators, right? Dan Mullen and his staff. And he was like, we don't feel them at all. Like, we don't even notice them. Like they walk in and it's like UCF walked in, right? They walk, it's like, it's a non-entity in South Florida. And that's when I hear that, it's time to go. You got to pull the plug. You got to go because you have to at least have a presence in recruiting. Florida State right now, you know, they're not doing well. They're losing games, but they have a presence in recruiting. Like, people believe in the direction. Nobody believes in the direction that Dan Mullen has taken this team. And I've never believed in Dan Mullen direction. He goes anywhere unless he's getting drunk and trying to find a fat chick. Like, I'm not as a coordinator. Nope. He's a fucking douchebag, and douchebags always lose out in the end. You got to have some swagger and you got to have some authenticity. And he has neither. He's a fucking clown.
It's a fucking clown. I love that. Now, if you're Florida higher ups, do you want to, you know, enter a coaching search in a year where USC and LSU are also searching for coaches?
I think Gainesville's more attractive than both jobs. Maybe not USC, but USC is a different job, right? You're gonna hire a different coach at USC than you are at Florida. And I think, I mean, I don't know. They've been such a train wreck since Urban Meyer left. I mean, every coach has been a disaster. I mean, to go Will Muschamp, to hire Will Muschamp was a fucking joke. Like, what were you thinking? And then it's been a nightmare in Gainesville. And I'm an alum. I'm a Gator alum. So I don't know what direction they go from here. I don't know who they go hire. But that's what they're deciding right now. It's not should they fire Dan Mullen or not. It's can we get a guy that we know is better than Dan Mullen? It's not should they fire him or not. They right now want to fire him. They just aren't sure who that next guy is, and they don't want to be the next Tennessee that all of a sudden they're offering jobs and people are turning them down and it turns into a shit show. And now they're at the bottom of the barrel in the SEC East. At least right now, they're second fiddle to Georgia and competitive with everyone else. If they make a move here and don't get the first 3, 4, 5 choices they want to be the head coach, they could find themselves at the bottom of the barrel in the East quick.
What's your gut telling you? Do you think that they move on sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think they have to, they have to do it today or don't do it at all because I don't have the schedule in front of me, but he has a cakewalk to finish the season with, 4 wins, I think. Yeah, he's got at South Carolina, Samford, at Missouri, and then Florida State at home. So he could easily walk off the season 4-0 and finish the season 8-4, get a bowl win 9-4, and it doesn't look as bad as it was.
Yes, it really is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just – They got to do it now. They can't do it at the end of the year. If he walks off 4 straight wins and you know his and wins a bowl game and they're like, shit, we should have done this after he got embarrassed by Georgia and LSU. LSU embarrassed him too. So I think it's going to be what it probably will come down to is they'll demand staff changes. Todd Grantham's got to go. He's got to fire his defensive coordinator and he's got to find a quarterback, man, and go through the portal, something. He's got to find a quarterback because AR-15 is a dynamic player, not a quarterback yet. I mean, not ready for all that. And then Emory Jones is just I've never thought he could be a big time college guy at that position. So I think that's inevitably what'll happen. He'll fire his DC and got to go find a quarterback through the transfer portal.
There you have it, Zach. Hey, I can't argue with that. I mean, I think Florida is. That's the only option, dude. That's the only option. It's so disappointing that they can't even. It's so disappointing that they couldn't give Georgia any resemblance of a good football game. Well, like it's so disappointing.
It's going to be exciting to see Georgia down the stretch, really in the SEC championship game, right? When we see a Georgia Alabama probably matchup, and it's going to be nice to see them tested a little bit, right? I mean, their remaining schedule is a complete joke. I mean, Missouri at Tennessee, Charleston Southern, and then at Georgia Tech. So they're definitely going to finish the year 12-0. I mean, that's without a doubt. And then we'll get to see them probably against an Alabama team. But the SEC West is fucking wild, wild west. Auburn's sitting at 3-1 in the West. If they can beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, watch the fuck out.
It's going to get spicy if that's the case, Zach.
And then we get to see Bo Nix try to take on the Georgia defense.
Oh, my God.
Take the fucking under on everything for Auburn's offense. Everything.
The under. Zach, I do want to touch more on defenses tomorrow. That's all I have for today, Doc. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.